Mission Impossible friends, you're welcome to walk around the building afterwards, go upstairs and see how things have changed, and I'm sure they have changed considerably since you were here before. Walk all over the place, you're welcome. All right, I believe we're ready. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to read the first 12 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with His blood. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And our Heavenly Father, if angels long to look into the things that You have given to us, how important it is for us to look into them as well. Help us, Lord, today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an article in the Taste of Home online magazine dated just recently, February 7th of this year, entitled, 10 Items You Might Not Find in Your Grocery Store and Why. See if you can relate to any of these items. Chickpeas. You missed your chickpeas lately. Wheat. Sugar. Avocados, paper goods, canned goods, eggs and meat, pet food, baby formula, and liquor. Now you might not miss some of these, especially liquor. At least I hope not. But to other people, they mean a great deal. We all remember the toilet paper shortage, don't we? I'm not certain there was a shortage, though, as much as there was hoarding going on. I had a lady that I knew. I went to her house one time, and she showed me her closet, and I'm not lying, the whole upper shelf of her closet was full of toilet paper. And she said, just in case, you never know. And we remember the during the pandemic, not only that, but last year's baby formula shortage. That was a real problem for some. And even now, the price of eggs makes people cringe to put a dozen in their grocery cart. Even in technology fields, computer chips and superconductors are in short supply, as well as aluminum and lumber was a real problem during the pandemic in the manufacturing industry. The reason for the shortages, the article went on to say, has been attributed to labor shortages and supply chain issues. As one representative for the National Grocers Association said, quote, there simply aren't enough people to make the goods, move the goods, and sell the goods, unquote. Even the war in Ukraine has contributed to some shortages worldwide, food shortages, especially grains. Commodity analysts say we're still feeling the effects from the COVID-19 virus, and of course, there's always climate change. In the material world in which we live, there are these shortages and many others, I'm sure. In fact, just this morning I read that there is a shortage of amoxicillin due to an increase in staph infection. However, there's even a far greater shortage being witnessed today in the spiritual realm. Decades ago, one of the popular world songs went like this. What the world needs now is what? Love. Sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but what? For everyone. Well, I won't argue that we don't need more genuine love in this world, but I propose to you today that there's another significant commodity that the world needs more of today, and that is hope. Who would argue by denying that there's just too little hope in this world? Could that be one of the reasons why, or one of the main reasons why, almost 46,000 adults died by suicide in the United States in 2020, and even more did so in the two previous years? According to the Center for Disease Control, in 2020, 12.2 million adults seriously thought about suicide. 3.2 million adults made a plan, and 1.2 million adults actually attempted to die by their own hand. The CDC's website and others even listed statistics for children and teenagers. Do you know that people of all ages from 5 years old to 85 and older died by their own hands? The greatest number among the 85 plus. And that's only in the United States. Only God knows how many self-inflicted deaths there have been worldwide, across all ages, genders, and socioeconomic levels. Even here on our NC State campus. Has it been 6 now? Six young people in the prime of their life? That's why I'm saying what the world needs now is hope. H-O-P-E. Remember that acronym. Remember those initials. But I submit to you today that it's not only people in the world that needs hope, it's God's people too. It's you. It's you. Of all people in this world, God's people should be the most hopeful. But we're not always. We give up. Why is it that more and more people who profess Christ are leaving churches? Why is it that those who are or have been even most vocal in their allegiance to Christ supposedly now are deconverting? We have God's message of hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Colossians 1:23. It's a message of hope in the gospel. The death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we sing about it so much, to fuel your hope. These are not just facts to be known. They're fuel to help us endure in this world. And we have hope not just for this life only, but also in the life to come. In writing about the resurrection, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we're of all people most to be what? Pitied. Pitied. Paul also wrote that it's through the encouragement that's found in the Scriptures that we have hope and can endure. Romans 15:14. Why do you think I encourage you to read your Bible so much, to study your Bible so much? And some of you still aren't doing it. It lays on a table or a shelf somewhere until a Sunday maybe, then you pick it up and bring it. It should be daily so that you can have this encouragement and fuel your hope to endure. Maybe that's a good acronym for HOPE. Helping other people endure. Helping other people endure. That's what Paul did. That's what Peter is doing. Paul prayed for the Romans that the God of hope would fill them with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they and we might abound in hope. Are you abounding today? I mean, are you overflowing? I mean, is it just coming out all over your, oozing out of every pore of your body, this hope? You often hear about the God of love, right? Paul says he's the God of hope. Paul told Timothy that God is our Savior and Christ Jesus is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. He told Titus that we have the promised hope of eternal life from God who never lies. Titus 1:2. Do you have that hope? And I'm not talking about a hope so. I'm talking about a confident expectation that, yes, you have right now eternal life. We know from other scriptures that God cannot lie. And one of his promises is about the blessed hope that we have in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Is that your hope? That he's coming for you? And he's coming to make everything right that's wrong in this world. Because only he can fix it. What I read in the papers and I hear on the news, I say, only Jesus is going to be able to fix that. The blessed hope is that he's coming back someday. Now, there's more about hope that I could quote from the Apostle Paul. I quote, all this came from Paul. Because of all the writers of the New Testament, he said or wrote the most about hope, followed, surprisingly, by the book or by the author of the book of Hebrews, and then by Peter. And that's why I read to you from 1 Peter, because I want to begin a series of messages from Peter's letters. We spent a lot of time with Paul. I think we need to spend some time with Peter. And so, beginning today, and for who knows, only God knows how long, we're going to be looking at what Peter had to say. Peter wrote to Christians who were suffering for the very fact they were Christians. They were suffering unjustly. For the last couple of Sundays, we've talked about justice. Well, 2:19 tells us that they were suffering unjustly. They were suffering for doing good, 2:20. Peter wrote to them about their living hope, 1:3, and reminded them of what God had done for them so that their faith and hope would be in God. Let me read it all, every verse that he mentions hope. Not many, it's just five times. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then verse 13, he says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Then chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21, speaking about Jesus, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Chapter 3, verse 5, he talks about holy women of old. He said, this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. And then chapter 3, verse 15, very important verse. He says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the what? Hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Peter was indeed helping other people endure. And we need hope today. We need hope to endure. You need that hope. Some of you just find yourself wondering if it's worth it. Some of you may know people who have said it's not worth it anymore. So we need hope to help people, other people endure, because too many people are giving up or giving in. Now, it's one thing to give out, that is, physically just give out. But even when you physically give out, don't ever give up. Don't ever give in. Don't ever give in to the flesh. Don't ever give in to the world. Don't ever give in to the devil. The world in which we live today is very much like the Roman world at the time Peter wrote his letters, maybe even worse. It's interesting what we're going to see about that world. And you know the world we live in. Christians are suffering unjustly in our nation too, and most all other nations worldwide in some form or another. So as we mine the gold that's in Peter's letters and uncover the treasure that's in them, I believe we can discover the answer to four key questions pertaining to us as followers of Christ. Four key questions that pertain to Christians. And here are the questions. First of all, do you know and understand who you are? Do you know and understand who you are? We're talking about your identity as a Christian, your identity as someone who's in Christ. He starts out in verse 2 calling them elect exiles. He follows that up in chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. He says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. That's our identity, as well as others. We'll get to that. Do you know and understand who you are in Christ? Second question we're going to get answers to is, do you know and understand what God has done for you and in you? Peter gives us some key instructions about God's saving activity, what God did to make us His own, to make us His chosen people. He tells us in 1:3 that He's caused us to be born again to a living hope. In verse 23, he says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God that was preached to you, so that you could become this special treasure, this special possession of God. And there's more that God has done that we're going to see. Third question. Do you know and understand what God expects of you because of your identity, because of what He's done? Do you know and understand what He expects of you now? You go through Peter, 1 Peter now. I haven't checked 2 Peter, but 1 Peter, there are about 35 imperatives or 35 commands in the Greek text and mostly translated in the English. But 35 commands. They cover all aspects of our lives, both internal and external. They deal with our horizontal relationship with God, or a vertical relationship with God, and our horizontal relationship with other people. They deal with the material realm and the spiritual realm. They involve how we relate to believers and unbelievers, how we relate to government authorities, how we relate to in the home between husbands and wives. Do you understand what God expects of you? We're going to find that from Peter. He tells us in verse 13, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 15, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Verse 17, he says, if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. In verse 22, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So those are just samples of what God expects of us. And then the fourth question that we're going to get answers to. Not only do you know and understand who you are, you know and understand what God has done for you, to you, for you, in you. Do you know and understand what God expects of you? But fourthly, do you know and understand who and what should motivate you? Should motivate you to live up to your identity in this world and obey what God commands. This is our inspiration. To live in a way that pleases God. Verse 15, but as he who called you is holy. There's our inspiration. He's holy, so now we're to be holy in our conduct. Chapter 2, verse 13 says, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. For the Lord's sake. Oh, we're going to have some interesting discussions when we get there. Verse 21 of chapter 2. For to this, that is suffering, you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. In chapter 4, verse 1, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. That's what inspires us. That's what motivates us. God, Jesus. So I can't stress enough how important hope is to your life in Christ, to your walk with God in this world, a world that's very hostile and opposed to Jesus Christ and the things of God. You are not the world's friend. Don't try to be the world's friend. The world hates us, Jesus said. Jesus told us. Don't be surprised that the world hates you because it hated me first. And if they hate me, they're going to hate you. If we really are following Christ. But it's because of hope that we're able to live as God's chosen special people, foreigners and aliens in this world. Our hope is in what God has done for us and in us. It is not in ourselves, and certainly it's not in this world or anything in this world. It's not in Washington. It's not in the UN. It's not in Bill Gates. It's not in the other fellow who's the richest man, Elon Musk. It's not anywhere in any of these people. It is better to put your trust in God, the psalmist said, than to put your confidence in man. Our obedience to every command, not only in Peter's letter, but in all of Scripture, is hope-filled obedience. Our inspiration for our obedience and endurance in this world, among all its opposition to everything holy and right, comes from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior, who himself is the living embodiment of hope, helping other people endure. So I leave you with the doxology that Peter opened his letter with. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of these elements that I mentioned to you, our identity, our inspiration, our imperatives, obedience, our instruction is all in these first 9 verses, or 7 verses. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who right now by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you are rejoicing, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and are rejoicing with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of souls. I leave that with you because I want to encourage you to read 1 Peter once a week. It'll take you about 15 minutes. There's only 5 chapters. Read it. And this week, I want you to meditate on these 7 verses 3 to 9. We're not going to get to them next week. I'm going to deal with the first two verses next week. But meditate. This is so full of gold, of honey, of jewels, that it will bless your heart. Our final song is Hope in Glory. So Ruby's going to come, and we're going to stand, and we're going to sing this song that Christ is our hope, and we hope in glory. So let's stand as we sing.